Father, we come to you today and we thank you for this time together. We ask your blessings on the service. As we are coming to worship you and glorify you in words and deeds and song. And everything that's done in this place, Father, our desire is to exalt the name of Jesus and lift him up. We ask, Lord, that you open your word to us today, that you speak to us, Father, in every way, to every part of the service. For your glory, for your honor, change our lives, Lord, and make us to your Father's decision to be you praise, Lord, and Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you. John, the Gospel of John. And we have a scripture lesson, but we're going to start before that, so I'll let you know when we get to it. We're going to begin just talking about what's going on in the flow of the scripture as it approaches the actual passage that is for us today. But as it begins in chapter 6, Jesus is feeding the 5,000. And after he finishes feeding the 5,000, he goes up into the mountains to pray. And while he's praying, his disciples decide, I guess it's getting dark, it's getting late, it's time to get going. And so they get in the boat and they head across the Sea of Galilee to go to Capernaum. And they're about 3.5 miles out. Storm blows up and it's pretty bad apparently. And all of a sudden Jesus comes walking on the water. And they're afraid at first. He tells them not to be afraid. He steps into the boat. And Scripture says, immediately they were at the shore. They were at their destination. I mean, some weird stuff went on in the middle of the night. But Jesus was there when they needed him most, and he protected them from danger. And those wonderful words that he spoke to them, do not fear. But there were those people who had been a part of the feeding of the 5,000 who knew that the disciples were headed toward Capernaum, and so they took the land route around. And they also knew, the scripture indicates that they knew that Jesus didn't go with them, but stayed on the mountain to pray. But yet, when they arrive in Capernaum, he's there with them. And so that's sort of where we pick up in this discussion. It's where it begins. In Capernaum, he makes his way to the synagogue. And this discussion begins to take place. Let's see. I gotta find where I'm at. Okay. In chapter 6, verse 26. Verse 25, actually. It says, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you're looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? So once they begin to ask about him, they come and they follow him to this place after having been fed this wonderful meal. And Jesus basically points out to them, you didn't come over here because of the wonderful works or for ministry's sake or anything like that. You came over here to get another meal. You want me to feed you again. You're looking for something physical. You're wanting a handout, so to speak. You're thinking that maybe if you're just going to follow me around and I'm just going to provide all the meals and somehow everything's going to be okay. And Jesus says, don't work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life. And so he changes the issue. And he says, the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And then he really begins to declare that he's that person. He says, on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So they ask him this question about what they must do. What are the works we have to do? And he says, the works of God, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. You got to believe. You got to. So right here at the beginning, he identifies two things. You need not to be looking for the food that's spoiled, but you need to be looking for the food that endures to eternal life. And so you need to be looking for spiritual food, the spiritual nourishment. You need to be looking for the one who is your food. And the second thing is, you must believe. You must believe on him. You must believe on the one that God has sent. Those two things, keep those two things in mind as we talk about this and as we look at how this develops. So they asked him, well, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now the fact that it said, as it is written, he gave them bread, he really means God. But I tell you right now, according to the response that Jesus gives to them, they weren't thinking about God, they were thinking about Moses. They were saying, Moses gave us bread in the desert. Moses gave our forefathers bread in the desert. What are you going to give them? What are you going to give us so that we can know you're a prophet? Okay. Again, it seems to me that what they're saying is that we want some kind of physical sign. And by the way, you know, food would be nice. You know, our forefathers got manna in the desert. So again, they're still looking for a meal. They're still looking for something physical that maybe will prove to them that he's a prophet. But they're still looking for something. Looking for something tangible. And so, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. Now look at how he said that. He basically said, it wasn't Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. But it is my Father who's giving you the bread from heaven. So, he's past tense, and then what's actually happening right now. And he's already declared that he's the one when he said God's placed his seal of approval on this. He's talking about himself. And I think they sort of sense that, but it's like, well then show us, you know, what kind of sign are you going to do to prove it that you're the one? So he declares, well, it's not about the physical food. It's not about the manna that God gave the children of Israel in the wilderness. It's about the heavenly manna, the bread that's coming to you right now that God's given. Let's keep it in the present. Let's keep the eye on exactly what God's doing here. And so he says, for the bread of God, this is verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So he really is declaring himself to be the bread of God that's coming down from heaven. And the thing that we're going to find in this scripture today is that Jesus never really sugarcoats anything. I mean, you and I, we try to be, you know, careful with our speech and when we're just standing around talking with people that we're not so sure whether they believe or not. We don't want to offend them and we don't want to run them off. We definitely don't want to browbeat them, beat them over the head. Jesus didn't seem to be concerned about any of that kind of stuff. He just cut to the chase and he would tell them the way it is. And sometimes it wasn't easy to hear. So he says, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never thirst. And so there are those two things again. The person who comes to me will never be hungry. In other words, the person that recognizes that I am their nourishment, that I'm their source for strength and for life, they'll never be hungry. And the person who believes in me will never thirst. And so there are those two issues again, the hunger and the thirst. Verse 36, but as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up in the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. And so basically what Jesus just said is that everyone who puts their faith and their trust in me, I know how to keep. And I will keep them, and I will raise them up in the last day. And so it's an invitation into relationship, but he's not necessarily making it easy. Because everything that he's saying is really bucking up against what they already believe and what they've been taught. And they've been taught that, you know, you believe in God and you worship God, but you almost don't talk about it. You may have these certain incantations, these certain words, and certain phrases that you say in worship, but man, they couldn't even utter the word Yahweh. They didn't even write. It was too holy. And so here's a man saying that he's God, that he's come down from heaven, that he's the bread of life, and this is just too much. It's not only too much for those who didn't believe, it's almost too much for his disciples. So, let me read verse 39. And this is the will of him who sent me. No, excuse me, I just read that. Let me read verse 41. At this the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? And so they're really struggling with it. They're having trouble with what he's talking about. And he says, stop grumbling among yourselves. Jesus answered, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up in the last day, as it is written by the prophets. Now here's the thing. The same thing keeps coming out of his mouth over and over again. It's the same thing. He keeps saying these same things. Listen to what he says next in verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And so again, he's declaring himself to be the bread of heaven. There's something about who he is. He's declaring himself to be our spiritual food, our source of life. And he's saying you've got to have this bread.
Well, then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? be pretty hard to hear things like this. I mean, even his disciples are beginning to think, wait a minute, he is flesh. Listen to what he says next. This brings us to our scripture today. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Unless you eat, I gotta read that again. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That's tough. I'm just going to go ahead and say it now because I may forget to say it later. The scripture says, and just hold your place right there on that verse. Don't leave it. Verse 66 in the same chapter says, From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed. Because of the things that we're reading right now, the things that Jesus said, in this scripture that you're looking at right now, because of these things that he said, a bunch of his disciples quit following. They turned back. Eat your flesh and drink your blood? I don't think so. I mean, think about this, because Jesus is saying some really wonderful things. He's declaring that he's the bread of life, and he's telling them that I don't have to eat you. If you believe in me and you put your trust in me, and if you receive me as this spiritual bread and you're feeding on me and our relationship together, well then I'm going to keep you. I'll never let you go. Nothing can take you out of my grasp. You're mine. We're in relationship together. Those are wonderful, good things. But then, right when you think he would say, let me clarify this and let me say it in simpler terms and let me sweeten it up so that you really understand how it makes you feel good about this. Just when you think he might do that, he says, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. This is my Halloween sermon. Okay? We're talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. That's what we were doing on the 31st, right? We were celebrating all that. Everybody, I want to drink the blood. All the little kids were dressing up like vampires. But Jesus is talking about this kind of stuff. Now you think if his disciples left, what do you think the religious leaders were thinking about? What they're feeling right now. They're really getting upset. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, my blood is real drink. See, here's the deal. When I hear Jesus say these things, I know that he is making reference to this meal that we're about to take of. It's his first time to actually say something about it. He's not said anything about it yet. And he's now telling them, you're going to take of my flesh. You're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they don't understand. They're taking it literally as they've been asking for literal signs and wanting literal food. They don't understand that he's talking about their need for spiritual food. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. They're not getting it. It's not translating. But that's all he's really pointing to. I'm everything you need. But what the good news is for us is that we're seeing this meal represents that he's everything we need. He's saying, you're going to partake of my flesh and my blood, And listen how he talks about it. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. He's not saying that this is how you'll receive eternal life. He's saying, he's really identifying that this meal is for the church. This meal is for those who believe, those who recognize that I'm their spiritual nourishment, that recognize that I am the way, the truth, and the life, who have believed in me and trusted me as their Lord and Savior. This is your meal. It belongs to us. And he's declaring it. Everyone who has eternal life, who's living in eternal life, they'll be the ones that will eat my flesh and drink my blood. He actually said, I've got to back up to verse 53, but he actually said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. And I was thinking about that. And I was thinking, well, you know, that's really true, because who really wants this meal other than us? I mean, the agnostic would care nothing about this meal. The atheist certainly wouldn't care anything about this meal. The Buddhist, there's not a religion or a non-religion on the face of the earth that cares about this meal. The only people I know that would ever care about this meal are you and I, the people who know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, who love Him. And so he's actually declaring that in his statements. He's saying only those who have life in me will be eating this meal. This is who it's for. And I love that statement, verse 55, where he said, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Isn't that good? When we partake of this meal today, he's saying to us again, I'm in you and you're in me. That's good. Every time we partake of this meal, he is saying again, I remain in you. I'm not left you. I'm with you. No matter what you've gone through, no matter how hard life has been, no matter how far away you think you might have gone, I have been with you. This meal is your reminder. I never leave you. I never forsake you. You can't get away from me. I love you. I'm not letting go of it. Isn't that good? This is a good meal that we're about to partake of today. Verse 57. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on the bread will live forever. That's the good news today. Whoever feeds on this bread lives forever. I know there are occasions when we have communion. Folks who just come up to the table, well, everybody else is me. Maybe they haven't. Maybe they're part of our church and they've never taken this hill before, they've never confessed faith in Christ. But that's not what he's saying. He wouldn't be a legalistic guy. He was just the same thing. Those who really can take this hill and know what it's all about, they're going to live there.
the sins we have committed, the sins we will commit. I mean, he paid the price. He opened the doorway to his love. Come into the Holy of Holies and have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus did what he did so we could commune with God. Hallelujah. We have a relationship with God in us. Father, come in. Let us pray. Father, we lift up this bread and the fruit of the vine. And Lord, as we do, we thank you for it. We thank you for all that you meant for what you did for us. Lord, we ask your blessings on the bread and on the fruit of the vine. We pray, Father, that we would receive your mercy and grace and understand your love for us. You are Lives forth.